You're listening to Dom's Cast, an unofficial fan podcast about the greatest Australian football team, the Essendon Bombers. My name is Jamie.
And I'm Nick.
And mate, I'm still really hurt from the events of Saturday night late. I was at the game the elation of hitting the front like we did against Richmond. That miss by Darcy Parrish, that really hurt. And then, we knew they were going to get another look at it. And, the videotape will show that probably, a kick out of a pack isn't always the smartest thing to do, especially when there's no players of your team out that flank, and went straight to probably their best kick in Dan Houston. And Houston, you've got to give him credit. Like, wet as wet. And he just went back and, I've seen a little bit of talk about, going off the line and stuff like that, but the umpire didn't call it, so that counts for nothing. And to be honest, I didn't really see it like he went very wide off the line. Like, he did deviate, but I think they allow you your natural kicking motion. But unfortunately, that really hurt because there was a heap of players on the line, and I was down that end, mate, and I had a good side on angle of it. And just saw he had the length in it, and despite all those players there, we just couldn't get a hand on it, and the game was lost. And that's twice we've played Port this year, and we've gone down by, I think, 4 points and 5 points. So two games by under a goal against a team that's won 12 in a row. And you think you get that close, like, there's some merit in that, pardon the pun. But I guess ultimately, like Jake Stringer said in, the videos from the rooms, if you want to be a good side, it's not about getting close. It's about finishing the game off and actually winning. But how did you see it, mate? I still feel pretty flat, to be honest, but how did you see it?
Yeah, like, exactly right, Dan. Like, I was pretty ropeable, if I'm honest, after the game, because I thought, like, it comes down to those last couple of minutes in the end, right? But, like, all throughout the game, we had so many opportunities to make much better of the chances we had. And while we can lament the performance of the umpires, which didn't do us many favours, the fact is, at the end of the day, all we can do is play to the whistle. And realistically, we let ourselves down more than they hurt us. To my mind, I think of, and you don't want to put it on one player, but Darcy Parrish, as good as he was in the game, I thought his clearance work was quite good. A couple of times he hit up some nice targets. But to miss four gettable chances at goal really hurts you. You think of Wiedemann's shot at goal that could have really given us a bit of momentum. Really, like, we miss those opportunities and so many more. I think of the mind-boggling and quite frankly poor decision in my mind to sub Menzies out of the game in a wet weather day, to bring on Scheel, who, I could see why you'd want to bring Scheel in, but not at the loss of a scrapper like Menzies. I thought we really needed him for what I thought he'd been done some pretty good things.
Let's not forget on that, Scheel hadn't played for about 4 weeks, so to throw him into a game where, it's all on the line. And he had two disposals. So
I'm not gonna put on Scheel. It's hard to get into the game. Mind you, he is one of our most experienced players, so I would have expected more from him. But there's so many decisions that we made ourselves that shot ourselves in the foot. when you look at some pretty I kind of see them as developmental things where you think of Redmond, like, he's experienced, but, like, his kick that went straight out, that was always going to come back, like, got to be deliberate out of bounds. Even in the old rules, Jane, that would have been called to my mind. And then unfortunately that kick from Martin, there was a desperation kick, and you get like he's just trying to clear the area. And the reality is we were unlucky that fell in the lap of Dan Houston, their best kick, and he was good enough to kick it. We can't complain about that. Because you know we're all happy to have Durham kick the winning goal against Richmond. And that's footy sometimes, Jane. So I can't complain about little things like that. But yeah, what I will whinge about, for lack of a better term, is our absolute it's greater than the need right now to be cleaner with the footy. That's all over the ground as well as in front of goal, particularly coming inside 50, where again we didn't do ourselves many favours. I thought, Peter Wright again, got given a bit of a bath. Wiedemann, I understand Brad Scott backs him in, but you need more from him. That and particularly that shot on goal, James, 30 metres out, not much of an angle. You have to kick those. That's your job. And I kind of think, you got a young bloke like Voss. Yeah, maybe he's still raw, but geez, I reckon we'll get a bit more out of him than a bloke who's, not confident. A guy who's, just like got his head down. He did some nice things, Jane. But I think I kind of feel at this point we're kind of doing Wiedemann more harm than good by keeping him, at the top level where he's got that. Pressure to perform. So there's a lot to take out of that game. I've just bemoaned about some of the negative things, but there's plenty of good. Like you think about there's a couple of goals from Caldwell at the death. I thought Hobbs' game was absolutely fantastic. Perkins, I thought done some nice things. Again, Stringer was doing some nice team things, and I particularly liked his talk after the match. No matter how the I think it's Bryn from the footy club's media area wanted to put a positive spin on it. He was gutted. You could see that in his responses and his face. It's nice to have honourable losses maybe, but at the end of the day, they mean nothing. You need to win those games if you want to be a good side. So. And I really like that, from our players that they are hurting, that they don't want to accept runners up. So plenty of good to come out of the game, but certainly a lot of frustrations as well.
Yeah, just going on the Wiedemann one, mate, he's clearly got the yips as well. I've seen it over the last few weeks, but the very rare shots he's had at goal have looked nothing like going through.
Yeah.
So I was never confident once he was going back to kick that goal, just based on what I'd seen him do in the games previous. And as I said, he's had very limited shots at goal, but when he has, they've been really, quite far from meeting their target.
Yeah.
So he's clearly got, he's low on confidence. We get that. We all go through modes of, maybe not in footy life, but there's things when we're not sure of things. We do second guess and, you try to correct something that maybe didn't need correction. It's just was off, and then you've overcorrected. Yeah. So all of that can happen, and I'm fine with that. That's human. As humans, we're going to have errors. But why does he get a ticket to stay in the side and work through that? Let him go and go back to do his craft. And maybe get some confidence back there. I understand Brad doesn't want to send him back because that happened at Melbourne, and he's had he's already been in the system 7 or 8 years, and I think Brad's just trying to say, hey, you're at Essendon now, we see you as a vital cog of the team. While you're fit, you'll be playing in our side. He's probably committed to that, probably didn't have the vision to see that this kind of stuff could happen, and now he's committed to it. That's the way it reads anyway, because to see a player really struggling, and he must be internally, because I'm sure he doesn't like the pressure. And as you say, he did a few good things, mate, in the wet. He did a number of contests that really you know, really brought the ball to the ground and gave us a chance, rather than standing back. But yeah, with Alir, and I must say, mate, there's a number of times where Alir was grabbing it arm,
yeah.
Or pushing him underneath the ball. And I know that's a defender's target, but how it was constantly overlooked by the umpires, I don't know. But he got away with it, and Peter Wright, I thought, played into his hands a bit.
Yeah.
I would have liked Peter Wright to, even if he's going to lead out of the 50, just keep pushing up and leading and leading and leading.
Mm-hmm.
Could have created space at the back, but his reluctance to do that meant that our forward line was always pretty clogged up.
Yeah.
Peter Wright, he's only played 3 games, and he had a great induction back in when he, playing Carlton.
Yeah.
Those last 2 games have been difficult for him.
Mm-hmm.
So he's just working his way into the season. So I'm not as I don't have the same criticism for Peter Wright as, as I do for Sam. Mainly because, he's having 3 games, it's hard to, be used to the rigors of senior footy,
mm-hmm.
Especially when you haven't even played any VFL footy in your comeback.
Yeah.
But no, look, as you said, there was lots to like. I guess what I really liked was to be 16 points down into the last quarter. And, there's about 8 minutes to go when that happened. I just thought, the old Essendon would have been, we've had a fair go. Just keep it under 5 goals and, we would have won some credit with that.
Yeah.
But we were brave. We took chances and, scrapped the ball forward and, got in front of our opponent, took some marks, and saw Caldwell kick 2 nice goals, and Kyle Langford take a Lloydie mark almost, mate. That was really powerful mark, and to actually hit the front showed just how much endeavour we had, and despite losing the game, the mindset's different. And what I will say, even though we lost, and you brought this up too, mate, the hurt in our players was clearly there. And you and I have spoken about this before, mate. Under Truck, I didn't see that hurt. Sometimes I'd see him, we'd lose a game by 2 goals and the players would be smiling and joking with each other as they're walking off. There seems to be a different mindset. So one thing we'll say about Brad Scott, he said from day one, we're not the finished product. We're nowhere near a finished product. So this is part of a build. And maybe we need these experiences to, develop, to make us know what we're going to do in these situations. And, mate, I'd rather suffer a loss like that, like we did on Saturday night, than in a final. So I guess that's the positive. I'm trying to think of a positive. But I think sometimes you have to go through that. And I'd rather go through it in a home and away game than – imagine that in a final, mate. Essendon are on the brink of winning their first final since 2004, and something like that happens only at Essendon.
I think one way of avoiding that, James, is not to make finals, and we've done that pretty well over the journey. Look, I think I understand what you're saying. Like, there's things we definitely need to learn from and develop, and I think. I actually do believe we are under Brad Scott. You can definitely see in the players and in, as you're saying, like how they really fought out the game. They grinded it out, threw it to the wind, and unfortunately didn't come through. Just weren't clean enough for long enough. But still, bit of pill to swallow. I guess all we can do, as Jake Stringer said, was reload and go again and see how we go against Adelaide.
Yeah. Well, let's rip the Band-Aid off, mate, and let's go through the game. As I said, to play Port, her first time since, 1998, I think they said, we played Port Adelaide at the MCG rather than Marvel. I've got to say, for an Essendon crowd, and understanding Yeah, it did get wet later on in the night, and there's a lot of train issues on the network at the moment, which makes it harder for people to travel into the footy. Yeah, with buses replacing trains and delays for that. But I thought I was pretty disappointed with our crowd, to be honest. So 38,000.
Yep.
I thought, yeah, we could have had better representation from our supporters. Like, you know, I thought, you know, this is, we haven't been really given too much spotlight of national exposure on these Saturday, Friday night games at all this year. Yeah, so I was a bit disappointed with the crowd understanding, because most of that day, mate, it was pretty dry. There wasn't much rain around. So, yeah, if it had been showers all day, I'd understand a bit more. But, yeah, it was a bit, I would have liked to have seen a bit more a pro-Bomber crowd. Yeah, let's start the game. And Port got off to a fast start.
They did, mate. Yeah, we saw Rosie, get a clean shot and put it through. You know, unfortunately, you have to give it to him. Like, he's a classy player, Jane. And, yeah, I guess for mine, my initial perspective of this game was we were just so fumbly with the ball. Like, it must have been, like you say, it was dry, but it must have been a bit dewy out there, because, like, multiple times I saw blokes like, you know, Guelphy, even Parrish, you know, trying to pick the ball up at the deck, and they just kept, you know, sort of dropping it. Unfortunately, though, you know, Port were a bit cleaner with it. And, you know, after Rosie's goal, they got an opportunity soon after through Power Pepper, who fortunately missed. But then not too long after, they were attacking again, this time through Charlie Dixon, who kicked one through. And I just thought, you know, bloody hell, like, we might be in for a long night. Let me sort of...
Lab was just to jump in there, but Lab, when you see him side by side, mate, live, he just don't understand how big a difference Charlie Dixon is to Jaden Laverty.
Yeah.
And Lab is a very powerful man, like, you know, plays well above his height. But yeah, there's something about Charlie Dixon that almost dwarfed Jaden Laverty. And yeah, he took a strong mark. It was a very nice goal by Charlie Dixon there.
Yeah, it was. And as I say, like, time and time again, Lab just, you know, battles against the monsters, does as well as he can, but bloody hell, he was up against it. And then we saw Todd Marshall, you know, take a grab, this time about 50 metres out. He looked confident when he went back, Jane, but, yeah, fortunately missed that one. And then, yeah, we finally got an entry up forward, and it was really through an effort from Menzies, like a really great tackle to, like, in that sort of half forward line there, to get the ball for us, to get us going forward. They got it out briefly before we intercepted, and we saw Lav take that intercept mark, Jane, about 50 metres out, almost bang on, and he just went back, steadied, and kicked the bloody goal.
Yeah, he was about 55 metres out when he kicked that ball. I was actually surprised. Yeah, I know he's got a powerful leg, but I didn't know. I wasn't confident he could make the distance there. And, he cleared the line easily. So, nice kick by Jaden Laverty.
Certainly was. Then we saw, with the – yeah, Port were just getting the rub of the green with the umpires, unfortunately. And we saw, Dixon get another shot on goal. But fortunately, he kicked short, Jame. And, that one was rushed behind smartly by McGrath, because we were really under pressure there. And I was just sort of feeling, Jane, at that stage of the night, like, our kicking was just so bad. Like, there were a couple of times, you know, both coming out of the 50 and going inside 50, where, you know, it'd either be 2-on-2 or a 3-on-2 in our favour. And it's like we'd kick straight to the Port player. And it's not like our jumpers clashed. Like, they were wearing that sort of white top to our sort of red and black. And, it was just going straight to him. It was just bizarre. Port kept on pressuring. And they got another opportunity for goal through Finlayson, but fortunately he missed. And I thought, you know, they had another couple of rush behinds there, Jamie, and another shot to Byrne Jones who missed. And I thought our back six were really under the pump and were really they were standing up, Jane, for mine, which I thought was great to see. Yeah, we saw Redmond have a ping at goal, unfortunately missed before we saw Guelphy make a really nice tackle inside 50 and go back and slot the goal.
Yeah, it was much needed because prior to that, as you said, Port had had about 5 or 6 shots a goal, and fortunately they were behind. Mm. And so to get that goal, I thought psychologically that was good for us, because we all know what it's like when you're in a string of behinds. It seems the pressure goes on the next player to avoid kicking another one, and for us to get a goal after them missing 5 of them, 5 shots a goal, gave us a real sniff to get under their guard. And we saw Jake Stringer have a shot at goal as well, and he's about 50 metres out, mate, and he had the leg, but it was a bit wide on the left-hand side.
Yeah, it was on that fair angle, James, so a pretty difficult kick. It looked pretty good off the boot, but as I say, a bit wide there. But at the end of the day, I thought Port smashed us around the clearances. Obviously their ball use around the ground and going forward is much better than ours, but we were just very lucky they were inaccurate in front of goal. And they ended up that quarter only leading by the 5 points, so 2-7-19 to our 2-2-14. So, pretty lucky to still be within a kick after, I'd have to say a pretty torrid display by us in that quarter. We looked pretty lethargic.
Really? Yeah, I wanted to say also in that first quarter, just how disappointed I was in the umpires. Like, there was a number of holding the balls that should have been paid to us. So, Jason Horne-Francis was spun around totally. And that was playing on. And, just really.
Well, not only spun around, but he was brought to ground, Jane. Yeah. And allowed to get up and go again. Like, he just. Yeah.
It baffled my mind, and that's where you wonder, like, what rules are they playing by tonight? Because in most games that's holding the ball, so and the thing is, the umpires, everyone says, oh, we can't bag umpires, but like, they have howlers too, and I'd put that in the howlers category as well.
Oh, I don't know if we can call it a howler if it's for the whole game, James. I think they performed pretty poorly for both sides, I have to say, but unfortunately Port seemed to get their rubbers of green. But, going to that second quarter, again, it was just frustrating. And I think it's one of those things, James, like when you get frustrated with the umpires, you kind of tend to get more sensitive to it, because there were a couple more holding the ball, free kicks, starting that second quarter that, just weren't paid. Menzies was held off the footy, got nothing there, and it was getting really frustrating. But again, all we can do is play the ball, play to the whistle. And we saw Perkins, have a nice bit of play. Took a really nice mark, and then he kicks it to Hobbs, who took that mark with a bit of a fingertipper, and he's been pretty handy in front of goals generally, Jane, this year, but unfortunately just wasn't able to kick that one through. But luckily, soon enough, after being 3 seconds too late to end that first quarter, we saw Langford bob up to kick a goal.
Yeah, much needed. It's great to see Langers finish that off. And how reliable has he been for us, as a goal kicker? It's not the amount of goals, it's like the regularity of him kicking goals. So you can almost count on it. Each week he'll kick at least one goal, and he's been a real find for us up forward, because with Peter Wright not there for most of the season, we did need someone to step in, and he's done a wonderful job.
Certainly has, mate. And I should say, for that goal, I mean, like, Hobbs, like, he really should have kicked it. It was like that one before, like, he was only 35 out, straight in front. That should be your bread and butter. But then, like, he missed. But he made up for it, because very soon after, we saw Port do that miss kick out of the back. Does got a hand on it, but it was Hobbs that actually grabbed the footy and sort of bounced off the Port player and then, laid the hands to Durham, who hit Langford. They're not going to give us that opportunity for goal. So I think, it's great to just appreciate those moments. And, Hobbs, he's going to be some player for us, Jane, which is great to see. Then saw another bit of, umpiring bafflery when we saw Langford along the boundary there, handballed the ball and, got rid of it. And about, seemed like 2 to 3 seconds after, then Alia brought him to ground. And, generally those ones have been, holding the man, but nothing going there. But then we saw Holbs again get involved in the play, like a bit of a soccer kick off the ground and, to Menzies. But unfortunately, we weren't able to make more of that opportunity there before we saw Port Adelaide, unfortunately, get an opportunity to goal through Kane Farrell, who kicked truly.
Yeah, that was a bit like a Redmond for us goal, that one, where it was a handball off and he flushed that kick. It was a long kick and it went very far, mate. And, we just gave him too much space.
Certainly did, mate. Luckily, though, we got another young buck in Caldwell. He grabbed the footy in the middle of the ground and, was fortunate enough that the young ruckman for Port, Vicente, ran into the endangered zone and he got the 50 metres. And, Caldwell from about 50 metres out looked as if he was going to try to kick for goal. I tell you what, I'm not sure if he'd have the leg from there, Jane, but he made it look good. And in the end, he fooled everyone and kicked it to Martin with a nice kick. And, Martin, who sort of fumbled the mark but took it in the end, went back and kicked truly for a very needed goal.
Yeah, just felt like we're right in the game again now. After Port dominated that first quarter without getting the real reward, it started to look like we had a bit more play, but as soon as I felt that, up jumped Connor Rosie.
Yeah, Rosie again with he didn't seem to be you wouldn't notice him all the time, Jane. But when he did get the footage, he's a dangerous player and he was good enough to kick that through. I think that might have been that snap of his. Just dispirited us a bit. Then we saw Archie Perkins get involved in the game again and it was great. It was getting a couple of looks, but unfortunately just wasn't able to kick either of those goals, which would have been bloody handy. But I will say, like with Perkins, you can see what a dangerous player he can be, James. And, more time, more experience, he'll kick those. And, I'll really back him in. He's going to be, some player for us in future, but unfortunately just not online on the night. And then we saw a really nice run of play. We seemed to be streaming right through the middle. And then Guelphy dropped it. It's like he'd spent it before he had it, James. It was a really costly fumble in the middle of the ground because those extra couple of seconds it takes for us to find the footy again is that time that Port can flood back and, basically they stopped our opportunity to have a go at goal. And then we saw Parrish get a shot at goal, but unfortunately Aaliyah was right on that goal line, James, and thwarted that effort there. And then we saw another nice bit of play, James, where again we ran it really nicely. But Parrish, his kick inside 50 was absolutely woeful. It was three on two to my mind, James, and it went straight to Port. And then when we won the footy back, Parrish had the shot on goal and missed. And there's two moments within the space of about a minute or so that really deflates it because, Port were on top for most parts during that half. And to not kick those ones, really, you lament those opportunities because, they don't come very often. I should say prior to that, we saw Quinton Narkle, who was playing for our VFL side, and I thought, begrudgingly, he played quite well for Port. There were a couple of really nice kicks he took that opened the game up. But that shot for goal he had, he kicked truly. Congrats to him for reigniting his AFL career. But
I thought he owed us since we gave him a game in the VFL. Yeah, to show his gratitude, he could have missed that one, but no, he made it. And he was quite handy. And like to force your way into a team that's second on the ladder is, a credit to itself. So, well done to Quinton, the next Palmer VFL player, but didn't want him to have success on the night.
No, and anyway, that was the half. So they ended up extending the lead only by a point, though. So 5 goals, 8-38 to our 4 goals, 8-32. So a much better quarter from us. But again, ruling some missed opportunities, which I reckon will come to bite us later.
I was a bit at halftime thinking, I was thinking how many points Port had kicked. Mm. And at halftime, we've got the same amount of points. So that gives you an insight of how many points we'd missed as well. So, 5-8 to 4-8. Certainly some rude chances. But start of the third, and I was hoping for a good start.
Yeah. And we got that good start. There was a rush on our goal line. It might not have quite gone through, but in any case, we saw Alia just fluff one off the boot, Jame, and Menzies was good enough to snaffle that one, and kicked it into Guelphy, who kicked a really nice goal, Jame, from the pocket, which is great to see.
Yeah, it was really good and good teamwork. In terms of like he gave the ball when he needed to, and gave Ralph a bit of a chance, and he took that. So well done, Matt, on that one.
Yeah, absolutely brilliant. Then we were sent to have a good bit of a sort of run there. Jai Caldwell have a shot on goal, but unfortunately missed. Then we saw Kyle Langford bob up and kick his second.
Yeah, really good stuff that we're starting to really take the ascendancy, I thought, of the game. Mm. Starting to have a lot more control. We're still fumbling the ball at times, but I still thought Port was starting to get a bit out of their comfort zone. Seeing how we're taking it up, and a few of our boys had grown some confidence.
They had, mate. Flip in particular had been massive. Like he'd taken a couple of strong grabs in the middle of the ground, which was great to see. Obviously down back, Lav, Rids, Zerk were all standing up, and when those blokes are playing well, you tend to walk a bit taller. But unfortunately, after we had that that period of ascendancy there, Port had a bit of a run. They had a rush behind before we Zach Butters, who looked like he was playing with a dry footy, Jane. Kicked a nice goal for them. Fortunately, though, we saw Jake Stringer bob up and, he tried to take the game by the scruff of the neck. And, he kicked a really nice goal for us to, get us back in the hunt.
Yeah, it was a nice goal and certainly not a gimme. And we really needed it because... Yeah, we just had to keep replying every time Port got a goal. And that Zach Batters one, mate, I think that's where, Hobbs' effort to chase was so evident. You could just see Hobbs busting his gut to try and get a hand in there. And unfortunately for Andy, as he was approaching Andy McGrath, he kind of dropped his head.
Yeah.
But, and pushing forward. It didn't look too exaggerated that he was putting his head down there, but because I think that's his natural gait at running. Mm. But he certainly made it too hard for Andy to tackle legally, and he got that kick and kicked the goal. But well done to Jake Stringer, and he had another look quickly afterwards.
Yeah, he absolutely did. It was a bit far out. He was probably, 40, 45 out. Jame, I think he might have kicked it from about 50. Pretty tough in the wet to kick those ones. But, sometimes when he's up and about, Jakey, he he'll kick those, but it just wasn't there on the night. On that Zach Butters one, James, yeah, agreed. He led to it, you know, led with his head to get the free. But in saying that, you know, we've just got to be better with our tackling technique. You know, McGrath didn't have to go, like, even if he didn't drop his legs, he still would have got him around the shoulder, which can slide up over the head. So we just need to tackle lower. So the kick was there. Unfortunately, he was good enough to put it through. I'll tell you what, Jane, you know, we kept coming, but unfortunately some more missed opportunities. Another missed shot at goal to Parrish, and then soon after to Langford. And, you know, we were playing some pretty positive footy and actually, yeah, had taken the lead back, Jane, which is great. But we were 7-12. So 7-12, 54 to their 6-9, 45. And yeah, when you've got opportunities to put some sides away, that's where you need to be really like cleaner with it. And 9 points, it's not much in the game of footy, particularly, you know, in the opening couple of minutes when we allow Port to, you know, come through and kick one to bring within 3 points in those opening minutes.
Yeah, and, you know, it wasn't long afterwards and they'd regained the lead on the back of Ryan Burton, a nice kick from, you know, about 45 out. Nearly, you know, closer to 50, I guess. It was a nice kick anyway. Yeah, he's a lovely kick of the footy, Ryan Burton. But,
yeah,
when they hit the front and we really needed an Essendon player to stand up, and this is when Wiedemann had his shot. I was bitterly disappointed with that miss because, you know, Port starting the quarter well, we just needed to reply, and, you know, we let that opportunity slip with that missed goal.
Well, that's absolutely right. And you think, like, of the play that preceded that, Jane, like, you saw Zach Merritt make an incredible tackle on, I think it was on Aleary, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was Aleary, yep.
Yeah, brought him down, like, just gave him no opportunity to get rid of that ball. And then, yeah, got straight back up and kicked it beautifully to Weed, who took the mark on a wet night, which was great to see. And you think, yes, that's the one we need. And when he missed it, it's so deflating, Jane. Like, all that momentum just goes out the window, and you, like, that just really hurts. Especially when, you know, we missed that one, and then. And it happened a few times during the night where Port were just able to, you know, progress the ball up the ground really cleanly and quickly. And we saw them get an opportunity for a goal through Byrne Jones very soon after. Fortunately, he missed there. Powell Pepper got an opportunity at goal. Fortunately, he missed. That was from a mark in the pocket. And you just thought, oh, how can he get that much space, at that stage of the game? And then again, we saw... Connor Rosie bob up and kick his third, and it wasn't too long after they kicked another through Byrne Jones, and it looked like they were about to run away with it, Jane, particularly when Powell Pepper had another shot on goal, and you just thought, come on, boys, like, we can't let it slip like this. And it's one of those sliding doors moments, James, where you think, if Wiedemann kicks that goal, like, we're the ones with ourselves up and about. But the tables have turned, and they've got, what, 2.5 goals up. And then we saw Jai Caldwell lift, Jane. Kicking that first.
Yeah, and it was a really nice goal, like, on the boundary side. And certainly wasn't an easy kick, and considering how many, I think we had 12 or 13 points before that, his was probably one of the ones you'd excuse for being a behind, but he made it go through. And, you can just see a little bit of momentum building on the back of that. And, you know, it was really building after Kyle Langford took that ripper of a mark.
Yeah, it was a great mark. Look, his kick wasn't pretty, but it snuck through for a goal, which was excellent to see. And I have to say, Jane, like, Hobbs in that weather particularly, he was just fantastic, just with his desperation, like, you know, getting a hand in here and there to affect the footy, making us, getting us forward. And then we saw, like, some awesome work. You know, when Port were really trying to attack their way as well, some great tackles from Merritt, and we saw Heppel as well, lay some great tackles. And I thought both of them really good. They stood up and, were quite resilient in the face of some Port pressure. And then we saw a brilliant effort from Redmond to kick it to Caldwell, who went back and kicked a really clutch goal, James. And we were up. And he thought, come on, boys.
Yeah, that next centre bounce, mate, the crowd was, really excited, obviously we'd hit the front. And it just lifted even further when Andrew Phillips just belted the ball forward from the front, God, we got that ball down quick. It was a wonderful take. I think it was by Caldwell. And then kicked the ball around the body and it went into the forward 50. And it was a handball received to Parrish, or Parrish ran onto the ball. And that's the one I really felt, on the back of how the crowd was. If Parrish had kicked that goal, if the MCG had a roof, it would have been lifted off, even with that 38,000 crowd, because it was just euphoria around the ground. But unfortunately, he missed, and that gave Port one last opportunity. And we're a little bit angry about how we defended that. We knew the Port would have to go long. They didn't have much time to work it up.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, what happened was that the ball, they didn't clearly get it forward, but they belted it forward. It was rising over their head, and it gave him another 15 or 20 metres.
Mm.
And fortunately for us, Port actually ran onto the ball. So it could have even been more chaotic.
Mm.
But we laid a good tackle. And as I said, those next minutes, next minute, I should say, was a real scrap. We tried to, hold on. But as Matthew Lloyd pointed out, I think in our error was that, it's all hindsight, obviously, but we put too many people behind the 50.
Yep.
And we didn't have, because you always felt like if Port were going to get a shot, it was going to be, on the back of the ball coming out of the forward 50 so that it could run onto it.
Yeah.
And we just didn't have a man out there. I think Peter Wright was up on, the half forward flank / wing. So he was too deep away from that. And when that, hack kick came out from Nick Martin, and, I don't blame Nick Martin by any way. It was a real congested area. And he just felt like he had to belt it that way. But unfortunately, it just went to the wrong man. And, Dan Houston, as he took the mark, he knew what he was doing. Didn't even cross his mind to try and look for a pass. He wanted the moment. And unfortunately for us, he owned it and broke a lot of people's hearts in it, including our players, I must say. And the players were bitterly disappointed. You could see that. The fans were disappointed. I know I went to the footy with my daughter, as I usually do, and it was just so deflating, as you say, and we hardly spoke going back to the car. That's how I felt. Just what could you say? You just was gutted, and as I said, a couple of days later, and I'm still feeling flat on the back of that. So I can only imagine what the players feel about the missed opportunity. But
one thing I also wanted to mention, James, was prior to that Parrish shot. Kyle Langford took a mark about 50 metres out or so, and he didn't want to take the shot. I think that might have been how Parrish got the ball. I think he might have tried to kick it to someone. He's missed the target, and Parrish ran onto it to try to keep that goal. And I thought, Kyle Langford, of all people, should have taken that shot. Whether he kicked it or not, all you can do is, have your shot on goal. But I thought he's one in particular that should have taken the responsibility for mine. Parrish missed that snap that he should have absolutely nailed. But, I kind of feel at times We don't have a lot of players that that enjoy the responsibility of kicking those big goals, like those important ones. Hobbs is one who loves the responsibility.
Caldwell, he's the one who put us in front.
Yeah,
he really owned it. Caldwell, I thought.
Yeah, absolutely. But that one from Langford, I particularly thought he should have had that had the shot. But look, as you say, at the end of the day, Dan Houston, he owned the moment. He kicked it, and all we can do is say hats off to you, mate. Like there was a beautiful kick. Much as I hate Port, sometimes you just have to,
acknowledge.
Hats off, acknowledge a good player. And I will say, prior to him even kicking that, saw Ken Hinckley on their bench, and he was just smiling because you can see that's from a coach who goes, look, wherever this goes, the boys have done their all. And I think, Brad Scott really would be saying the same. Because, the one thing we have bemoaned over and over again, Jane, for the last few years is the effort particularly shown by the boys at times. This year, I've questioned our efficiency around the ground, our effectiveness in front of goal, our ability to make contested marks. But I've never questioned our effort. It has always been there from where to go. Yes, there's been quarters where we've been absolutely outplayed, outclassed, and just looked lost, which are a bit concerning, much like the first quarter against Port. But I think we have to take the good with the bad in that, like, our effort's absolutely very much there. It's just our polish that's missing. And I think really that's the difference for me at the end of the day. Once we can straighten those things up, kick those goals that we need to, win those 50-50 contests where we have the opportunity, that's where we're going to grow leaps and bounds as a football club. So as disappointed as I was about the result and aspects of the game, I was pretty proud that the boys gave it their all.
Yeah, that's right. And like Brad Scott keeps saying, like, there's a lot of improvement in this side. And, he's probably referring to the fact that, like, we haven't got players like Rosie and Butters, that, for example, at this stage. Our players like that are going to be, probably Nick Martin's building to one of those. And then you've got players like Hobbs and Perkins and, hopefully a little bit later we'll get to see a young Sardis get a game. They're going to be our next wave of, really exciting talent coming through. Just got to keep getting the games under their belt, give them experiences, and hopefully we'll watch continual growth, and that's what this club needs. Too often, mate, we've made the finals 1 year, go backwards. Just to see some, projected growth would be great. Look, we've got 8 games to go, mate?
It's 8 of 7.
Yeah. I know we've got, for example, I think we've got to win. Well, they said 13 games will get you in the 8 for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe 12, depending on your percentage. Well, our percentage is pretty low. So, compared to the top 8 sides, we're about 106 at the moment. So, we've got some tough games. Everyone said we had this easy draw. Essendon's got the easiest draw. On the back of playing, losing to Fremantle over there and now Port Adelaide, coming up, we've got the Adelaide Crows who are in a bit of form themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So it certainly won't be an easy game at Marvel on Sunday.
Yep.
Then we go up the Cattery. That's going to be a tough game on a Saturday night. Yep. Haven't beaten, to be fair, we don't go to Geelong very often. We haven't beaten Geelong over there since, I think, 1990, mate. So that's...
gone back a ways.
Yeah. Mind you, we haven't played there much, but we did play there in 93, mate, and we got beaten. It was about 2 rounds before the season, or the final you know, final round of the AFL season before finals. And we've got a heap of injuries. So I hope that doesn't continue there, because I think we lost about five players that night. And fortunately, they all got up and played in the 93 grand final. So there's hope for that. But yeah, we play Adelaide, Geelong, then we play the Bulldogs on a Friday night. Sydney at home. So, you know, you'd hope to win that one. Yep. And then you got, you know, West Coast, North Melbourne, and GWS over there. Well, we saw them beat Melbourne yesterday at home. And then finally, Collingwood. So, maybe, you know, people say we should beat West Coast and North. Well, we know North rise against us every time. That, you know,
yeah,
they hate us. You know, they find that extra yard. And so, yeah, I don't look at the fixture and say that's an easy draw. If we make the finals, we're going to have earned it. But, you know, let's hope we get to see. Yeah, I'd like to see, Sardis at some point. You know, he's waiting for his opportunity. He's had four games in the VFL.
Yep.
Tipper, we played him early, mate, and, look, he needed that break in the twos, but he had nine tackles yesterday. I think he could add a different, element to our side. Even as a sub, I'd like to see him as a sub, he could be a super sub, really. And then, Nick Cox is still waiting for his chance. No, he hasn't ripped it up in the VFL level, but he might be a player, mate, that excels at the higher level. With his height, he's got a point of difference there. So he might get a look. So, I just think we are improving. We don't know how long Draper's away for. He's been a big loss, especially in terms of enthusiasm. I really think he lifts our side at times. Unfortunately, Setterfield, mate, he started the season so well, but I've looked at the injury list and he's always listed as 3 weeks away with that foot. So that's worrying. Dylan Scheel, we just saw him play a sub this week. He's, I would guess he's going to play a full game, and he'll be named in the main side this week. So he's coming back to the side. There's going to be a lot of changes, I think, in the, in an attempt to get to a stronger team. But, I think we've done a really admirable job to be 8-7. But the real challenge is getting to that 12 or 13 wins. And if we get there, mate, it's going to be against some pretty good teams.
Buddy, I think we will, Dane. But that's kind of what you want, right? You want to be able to beat those teams around you and be challenging those teams above for that win. So if we do make the finals, we will have earned it, as you say. And I probably have a lot more confidence in our ability to actually make an impact in the finals currently, with hopefully some of these lessons we've learned along the way, as hard as they might be, to clean up on those missed opportunities, those moments we'd prefer to have back. But at the end of the day, I think we're playing a much more reliable structure. We're not relying on individual brilliance of anyone. We're playing a much more solid brand of football. So, look, we'll fight out the rest of the season. Seven more games to prove our mettle, as it were. And, see how things land, firstly, against Adelaide.
All right, mate. Well, let's have a break. We'll come back with the BFL results and also go in by the numbers and the Don's cast middle vote. And you're listening to Don's Cast. Mate, before we go into the VFLW, during the week, Darcy Parrish was asked about his future, and he seemed to give the greatest indicator that he really wants to stay at Essendon. And he was confident that's where his future lies. So I thought that was a good one, because I've always had a sense that, and I hope I'm right, that Redmond will stay. But Parrish was the one, with Geelong lurking, always trying to, offer, star players good money. I thought, they might be a threat for us, considering their successes versus our performances over long periods. But, he certainly, on Channel 9 gave the greatest indicator he really wanted to stay at Essendon. That he goes, I feel valued and I really want to be, I see where the club's going, and, he's got deep respect for Brad Scott. So, let's hope that's a real promising sign that he's going to sign on with the club. Unfortunately, we haven't heard much from Mason Redmond for a little bit. So a few weeks ago, I was, there's a bit of a whisper going around he was going to sign a long-term deal. But that's seemed to have gone away. So that was just a rumour. But, we're still waiting for both signatures. But the other news, mate, is that, and I don't know how reliable this is, but I'd certainly welcome it. If we can sign both Redmond and Parrish, North Melbourne, our good friends who really value us, they may even let us get Ben McKay on a out of free agency, as long as they're compensated by the AFL, with a priority pick, close to their own pick, so it'd be a top two or three pick. They may not even, make us trade to get him. If we were that way, if we offer the big money and we get that trigger for them to get a pick, and we're not losing compensation ourselves because both of our free agents signed on. So that could be a win-win for both clubs. And for us, a lot of people saying, Ben McKay isn't done much at all. Why should we give him such big money? But again, you look at Saturday night, you got Zerk Thatcher and Laverty. They just don't have the size and power of a Ben McKay. I just think that he's worth the investment. It's certainly a need. Because even if we get Zach Reed up and running, he's again giving away a lot of weight to these big power forwards. Yeah. And we only have to look at the results against Tom Hawkins, when we played Geelong. We just don't have that really big player that, can really hold their ground. So, I'm a bit pro for that. I really hope that that does come around. And I think the big win for us would be is that it's only the salary that will pay that we're losing. We're not losing. We're not having to trade our draft picks or, have to give North compensation. The AFL will do it for us. So, I thought that was some good news. So,
well, it'll be about time the AFL did us a favour, Jane. What are you reckon?
I was going to say, on the back of that, watch the AFL say, we're going to give you a second round pick. But, we'll wait and see how that plays out. But, mate, we had some great news with our VFL teams on this weekend. Start off with the VFLW women, who, really need to win this game to make finals or to concrete their spot in finals.
Yeah.
And it was a huge game for the girls. And, mate, how did the game go?
Yeah, it was a pretty pretty tight contest, by the sounds of it, particularly early. We kicked one goal to their one goal one against the Dogs. Then we kicked away a bit in the second, kicking three goals all up at halftime for their two goals one. Then they got a bit of ascendancy, kicking four goals two to our three goals three. But then we really came home with a wet sail in that last quarter, Jane. We kicked three goals two in that quarter alone. So finished up with six goals five, 41, to their four goals four, 28, which is a really good way to finish for the ladies, because as you'll remember, Jane, they started the season, not in as good form as they would have liked, I'm sure. There was that draw to the Hawks, and then he had some losses soon after, and they've really had to fight their way through this season. And to end up fifth on the ladder is a great achievement. And do you think, really it was a do or die? I mean, we got into the finals, but there were, plenty of teams beaten down the door. You know, the Southern Saints just missed out on percentage. Really, if Geelong had got up, then, they might have got in because they had greater percentage than us. But fortunately, we had the greater number of wins. So ended up the season eight wins, five losses and a draw to round out the season to have them play as finals next week, Jane, which is bloody fantastic to see. And I believe it'll be a another rematch against the Hawks, Jane. Which will be a pretty tight contest, I'd have thought.
Yeah, well, we know they played out a draw, I think, early in the year, and we got the we got them later on in the year. I think it was, when was that, mate? Round?
Oh, I think it was around. It might have been round seven or so. I think we got three goals or so. So
yeah, well, that'd be good because it's always good to. It'd be nice to knock the Hawks out of the finals, mate.
Bloody oath, yeah.
But as the reigning premiers, like as we are in the VFL competition, VFLW, that is, it wasn't like a rollover of that team. There's been, coaches changed. There's been players changing hands as they usually do. And it's been a real remake of that team.
Yeah.
So, as you say, to make the finals on the back of a slow start is really good for the girls and, I'm sure having beaten the Hawks earlier in the year, they'll go into the game with some confidence.
Yeah, absolutely, Jan. It's it should be great to see. So I look forward to watching that. With a bit of excitement.
Now our VFLW men team, mate. VFLW. What am I saying? VFL team. Sorry, I'll just correct myself. No need to add the W for the men, but yes, we played.
Oh, they took the W, Jane.
Yeah, well, they did get the W. That's right, because after nine losses, we're playing the top of the ladder team, Gold Coast Suns, and it was a fantastic effort. AMT, kicked the winning point. And I looked at his stat line, mate. He had nine tackles to go along with that, and. Just a seat of elation, I think of all those players playing in so many losses, it must be such great relief. And to do it against the top side, that must be so rewarding for them. And, I'm sure they'll get some benefits out of that, but, not giving in and, not just looking on paper. You play the game as it should be played. And it was played with some real intensity. I saw a few... few little malaise, I guess. So yeah, it was a bit of angst between the two teams, but great to finish on top. And Sardis was brilliant, I hear. Which is great. He's the player that you're getting the top five draft pick, mate. You really want to nail those, and it sounds like he's going to be a star.
Yeah, absolutely, Jane. Really racked up the touches and did some nice things, including getting involved right at death there. I think he might have given the hands off to Wanganeen, who got it off to Tipper, take that mark, which is great to see. And I tell you what, as you say, Jane, like it's a testament to the VFL side to play out that game. I mean, it's their third win of the season, so pretty tough year it has been so far. For the boys, so I reckon they would have got hell of a lot out of that, which is great to see. And we're now getting some blokes back in to the side, like in terms of AFL listed players, like obviously you had Hind playing down there, Wanganeen, you got Voss, we've seen the growth and development of Hayes down there, Nick Bryan, Cox, Yeah, Baldwin. Cox apparently played quite a good game, Joe. Apparently he's getting pretty niggly as well, which is great. Mm-hmm. Just some development from these young blokes is, great to see. So well done for grinding at that win to the boys. So, it's great to see. And I think, really, you look at it, with these blokes coming back from injury, as you say, like a Sardis, a Cox, McDonald, Tim, Woody, even gives us some headaches for selection, which is good to have, particularly back half of the year, to have fit and firing players really wanting to earn their stripes, which is great to see. And I don't know. Look, I unfortunately didn't watch the full game. I've seen some highlights. That's about it. Did you have the opportunity to watch the game, Jane? Or
mate, I was so deflated on Saturday night. I tried to lock my way away from footy. I just did not enjoy it. I watch the VFL as well where I get a chance. Unfortunately, this year, so many times we've been fixtured the same time. So it's been hard to do that. And, this one escaped my memory to do so. And as I said, I just wasn't in the mental state to watch footy at that stage. But I was so pleased to hear that they'd had a win. And to Paul Cousins, who's joined us many times, you really deserve that one, your team. Really happy for them. But I can't give you a in-depth review of that game, mate. I've got to hand up.
That's fair enough. I do like looking at the stat sheet, though. It's nice to see that we saw Voss kicking out a couple of goals, Mankara a couple of goals, Cox and Wanganeen each kicking one. And apparently in our best, we've got Sardis, Davey Jr., Brian, Cox and Hind. So that's some... it's really good to see. You've got some young players coming through that are putting their hand up. And for credit to Brian as well. As we bemoaned about last week, Jane, he'd been given a in quotes opportunity in the ones. Didn't really get to play out as much of the game as he should have, and then dropped straight away. And full credit to him for having the psychological fortitude really. To bring himself and go, I'm a good player and not get deflated. I thought it's a real credit to him. So who knows, opportunity might open up again in future. So it's good that he keeps the fire burning. And watching that replay, Jane, of everyone getting up and about at the end of the game there with Tipper's point, just electric to see.
Yeah, fantastic. Well done, guys. Mate, let's go by the numbers against Port Adelaide as we rehash some painful memories. But let's go through and we start, as always, with Andy McGrath. And how did you say Andy went?
Yeah, I thought he played a solid game overall, Jane. Did some nice things with footy and particularly, trying to stop the onslaught of Port when I was coming down, pretty hard was good to see. Took a few intercept possessions, had some scoring involvement as well, which is good to see. Used the ball pretty well when he had it, like went 85%. Didn't have a heap of it, just the 20 possessions, but laid a couple of tackles, which is good to see. And did try to get us up the ground when he could with a couple of bounces. So I thought overall he played fairly well.
Yeah, I noticed he did a lot more kickouts than normal, from my end anyway. So, I thought he's quite good. He had to play a defensive role, obviously, in where he is playing. But, those Port live wires can be dangerous. So, I thought he did pretty well in his role. Darcy Parrish, mate, he had a lot more of the footy. He got the 29 disposals, 16 kicks, 13 handballs. 7 marks and 7 tackles. Yeah. Again, not what he's renowned for, but he really played a good wet weather game. As you say, we rue some of his opportunities with the four behinds. Just one of those would have been nice, but to have all those misses, that really hurts. And other than that, you can certainly find the footy. He does have some issues kicking with his kicking. He went at 59% on the night. So he's just got to keep working at that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I guess that for me is why, spoiler alert, didn't make my vote. Because as much as he was good, he's good in and under, he can find the footy at will. Did some really nice things at times as well. But just his lack of ability to finish those goals, which were really important to us. And those kicks in particular where he was going inside 50 and it's just coughed it up straight to port, they just kill you. So as much as I think it was great to see a lot more defensive-minded effort to his game this week from Darcy, I think overall he probably played a solid game, but I still find it pretty hard, when you're seeing your players like that, just butcher the footy.
Got a bit of work to do there. Kyle Langford, mate, I thought he was really good on the night. He kicked the 3 goals, 1, 16 disposals, 11 kicks, 5 handballs, 7 marks. So really strong on a wet night and set up a lot of forward opportunities as well as kicking a few goals. So, I thought he was really good.
Yeah, I thought he had a solid game mostly, but again, he had a few opportunities. Tipped ball inside 50 and unfortunately just wasn't able to make the best of it. He only went at 56% disposal efficiency from his 16 possessions. So, they do, you tend to miss those opportunities a bit. Did have 7 score involvements, which is good to see. And, he's got really good vision when he does have a footy in hand. But I would have liked to see him get a bit more involved in the game when the whip's really cracking earlier. Like, he got involved, in that fourth quarter particularly, but I would have liked to see him, a bit more, potentially in that first or even that second quarter. So I think he had a solid game. And it was nice to see him kick those few goals.
Jai Caldwell, who's, he's a real brute at the footy, mate. He might not be the tallest guy, but, he's strong and...
Mm.
Yeah, he willed himself in that last quarter, especially. Kicked those goals. They were clutch, mate. He really went to another level, I thought. And 24 disposals, 12 kicks, 12 handballs, 6 marks and 3 tackles. So a really good game by Jai Caldwell. And he's really growing this year. And you can just see he's going to be a really important player for us.
Yeah, that's it. There's times where he just wills himself into the contest. Jane, personally, I thought he was fairly quiet that first half, but the third and fourth quarters, he really did get involved, have a few score involvements, which is great. Unfortunately, he's another one who didn't use the ball as best as he could. Went at about 67% disposal efficiency. Worked hard, as you say, had 10 contested possessions, which is great. Kicking those goals was really good. Had a chance at the third, but unfortunately didn't go through. But one thing I've really appreciated, James, is he's accumulating a lot more of the ball. We saw his first year and two with us. I mean, obviously injury ravaged.
Curtailed him.
Yes. But now we're seeing him, because previously he'd get maybe 12 possessions for the day. Now we're seeing him consistently getting 20-plus the ball. And that's what we need to see, getting more involved in the game. And he's still only, 21, 20, 22 at that, maybe.
He's 22 years old,
So still very young. Plenty of development to go. And he's another one that, doesn't shirk away from a contest. Working more in his tackling game, which is great to see. So I thought he played quite a solid game for us. So love him what he's bringing.
Our captain, Zach Merritt, continued his great season, I thought. 31 disposals, 16 kicks, 15 handballs, 6 marks and 4 tackles. And that tackle on Allaire was just brilliant.
Yeah, absolutely, Jane. I'll tell you what. Zach Merritt, he's led this side beautifully. All season, really. And, like, we've seen, not only at Essendon but other clubs where blokes have been given the mantle and their individual game suffers. That's absolutely not been the case from Zach Merritt. If anything, not only has he remained consistent, but he's probably even lifted, particularly on the defensive side of his game. As you say, those tackles are worth their weight in gold, particularly when they come from the captain. It lifts the side. Obviously he's getting his clearances, he's meters gained, like another 600 meters gained or so. But again, he's won on a wet night, sort of playing with a dry footy. Went at about 84% disposal efficiency, had the 12 contested possessions, 6 intercepts, 6 score involvements. He's just really, just getting involved all around the ground. And, when it comes to the death, it was him and Heppel down back, tackling, harassing. And when there was an opportunity to go forward, it was again Zach Merritt, as you say, with that tackle against Lira. So, he is just willing himself to contest all over the ground, which is great to see. And it's good to see we've got young blokes obviously looking at his example and taking that on, such as a Caldwell and Hobbs, as we'll talk about next.
Yeah, well, Ben Hobbs, I thought he was wonderful. Didn't get the same amount of game time I'd like. I would always liked him to play a bit more. I thought he was benched a lot. But I just thought he had an impact every time he's on the ground. And he went at 23 disposals, 11 kicks, 12 handballs, 1 mark, 4 tackles. Kicked the behind. As you said, he probably should have kicked that goal. But, he's just a competitor, mate. And, he's just got this will and, that chase going back to the Butters run.
Yeah.
He was not giving up, even though Butters probably had a little bit extra pace on him. Just to watch Hobbs totally commit to that chase was just brilliant, and it gives you an insight of what kind of player he is.
Yeah, absolutely, Jane. I thought he played a really good game, Ben Hobbs. Of his 23 possessions, Jane, 13 of those were contested, so works bloody hard at it. And as you say, with that missed shot at goal, even then, he worked his way back and made up for it soon after by winning the ball back for us, which is great to see. He doesn't die wondering. There's plenty of times we went hard in a contest, which is great to see. His tackling, he really tackles the hurt, Jane, and you love those sorts of players on your side. I thought the way he was able to get involved, not only like those sort of efforts in the middle of the ground, but also heading up forward, had 8 score involvements, which is good to see. So looking for blokes in better opportunities than himself. Used the ball fairly effectively, about 78%, which is good to see. So, all up, really good game from the young bloke in Ben Hobbs.
Dylan Shield was our sub, came on at the start of the last quarter. Just had the 2 disposals. There's not much at say when you're a sub and you come on a quarter. But he did have 3 tackles, and I thought that showed his endeavour was there, mate. It wasn't like he just came on and was non-competitive.
Yeah.
Just didn't get into open space where, where Brad would have liked to seen him probably. Moving those balls up the wing and going up towards the forward line. But just didn't get the opportunities. But, at least he's back on the field, and let's hope he gets a full game next week.
Yeah, that's about all we can say, Jane. Better for the run. You can see why we wanted to roll the dice with him as sub, but didn't pay off on the night.
Sam Wiedemann, we know he's in a real form slump. It's probably been going for just over a month now. He's just had the 1 behind on the night, one very kickable goal that was. Mm. 9 disposals. He did provide a contest and went into the ruck at times. And actually did quite well in the ruck when he rucked. He did take 5 marks. So, you know, he got his hands at the ball. But unfortunately, the main thing we needed to do is kick a goal or two, and couldn't do that on the night. And if I'm honest, just wondering about, you know, if he's in the mental state to play with all those demons in the background and, you know, pardon the pun, coming from Melbourne. But, just wondering if, you know, if this perseverance by Brad Scott and this total faith in him, because, again, he was mentioned in the presser about how good he's doing and everything. So, yeah, just wondering if that's a benefit or a hindrance to him, but we'll have to wait and see how that plays out. But, just another disappointing night, I thought. But as I said, he did provide a contest, which was important on the night as well.
Yeah, and that's, again, one of those sliding door moments where, like, I did think there were some nice things he did, got a goal assist for us, take a couple of nice marks, which is good. But then, to miss that goal, particularly at that stage, pretty unforgivable for mine. Like, it's those ones should be your bread and butter as a key forward, and can really deflate the side. So as much as it's good for Brad Scott to have faith in him to become a good player, there comes a time where it hurts the side, because we can't carry a lot of blokes if they're not performing at the level required. And that's just the harsh reality of AFL level football, Jane. We'd love to keep all our nice blokes around and a lot of it, but unfortunately, it's a industry shaped on wins and losses. I think it's not like he's not trying. I think he's doing the work, Jane. Just not paying off for him at the moment. I have to say, he played a pretty average game for mine. So I guess we'll see in time. If Brad Scott sticks fat, or whether we see a young bloke such as a Voss get an opportunity.
Yeah, sounds like the faith will continue. Will Snelling, I thought it was a perfect night for him, the condition wise.
Yep.
His endeavour's fantastic. I don't know if he had the impact. For someone who played a full match, he had 14 disposals, 9 kicks, 5 handballs, 2 marks and 2 tackles. So, I just thought it was a okay night, but his efforts there, but I just didn't think he had the influence on the game that he probably would have liked.
Yeah, that's it, James. Like, in a wet weather game, usually suited to those who were closer to the ground than others. But unfortunately, he's another one. He went at 64% disposal efficiency. So, look, wet night given, but, he's usually one of our more dependable ball users. When you're giving up, one out of every 3 possessions to the opposition, and didn't get that many in the end yourself. And it's not even like he was racking up huge tackles. Like, he had 2 tackles, and he did, try to harass James. But I just didn't see his game as overly influential. And I think for him in particular, there's a few players around that mark. I think he really needs to, pull out all the stops to maintain his spot on the side, because young blokes coming through who will be eyeing that position off, such as a Sardis or even a McDonald Tip Woody to come back, or who knows, a Cox for a bit of a different look. Plenty of blokes will be putting up their hand. So, look, I think he played an average game for mine on the night. I guess we'll see how the axe falls.
Jordan Ridley, as serviceable as always, and I thought he did very well defensively. Didn't have the same amount of footy as he usually has. Just had 16 disposals, 13 kicks, 3 handballs, 3 marks. Obviously, the best thing about Jordan, he uses the ball so well, he went at 88%. So he just played a defender's role in the night. Didn't do as many kickouts as usually, so that's probably what his stats isn't as high as normal. It really went to McGrath a number of times. So, yeah, I don't know if that was a tactic or they just didn't want him to lose cover of his player while he was kicking out the footy. I don't know. But, yeah, I thought Jordan still played a good game.
I mean, I guess this is the beauty of how we all see different games, James. I thought Ridley played a really good game. He absolutely shut Todd Marshall out of the game.
He did, yeah.
Like he had that one shot at goal, which was from about 50 out, wasn't able to kick it. And, apart from that, Todd Marshall had 8 disposals in the end. Had to do a lot of chasing himself. And so, for mine, Ridley's influence on the back line was more to sort of, instruct our troops, and like our back six was performing, really well. I thought we were, really fighting it out. He was getting a fist in when needed, helping out players when, when Dixon was getting a run on. I thought he was, helping the blokes double team a bit there and get involved. He didn't take a heap of marks, took the 3, but, some of them were just commanding, James. Shut them out when they were really bursting forward. I really liked his game. As you said, used the ball well. It was just clean when you needed a bloke to pick it up off the deck on a wet night. I thought he, again, played his role and played it well. So I thought, a really good game from Jordan Ridley.
Jaden Laverty was another player that had a tough task, giving away many centimetres and obviously kilos to Charlie Dixon. And, I think Dixon only kicked the one goal. So, mind you, he kicked 3 behinds as well. But Laverty kicked the goal himself. So that squares the ledger. And, Laverty's just so tough and had the 5 tackles on the night as well. So, really good work by Jane Laverty.
No, I thought he played quite a solid game, James. As you said before, like he gives up a lot of height and size, but he certainly gives as good as he gets. To lay the 5 tackles, I thought was really good work from him, particularly again to have a few marks, which was sorely needed down there. Which is just great to see. He had 6 intercept possessions, so thwarted a number of port attempts to get in goal. So I thought, quite a good game from Jaden Laverty.
Archie Perkins, having a bit more time in the midfield at times. Just kicked the 1 point. Perkins has got another level to him, I'm sure. I thought if I'm being critical, I think this last block of games has been probably his quietest in terms of usually used to kick a goal or, have a bit more impact than he has been, because he had the 12 disposals, 8 kicks, 4 handballs, 2 marks, 3 tackles, which is great. He's seen as somewhat originally as an offensive player, like someone who is all about attacking the footy and not doing the defensive side. He still had the 3 tackles, but 42% disposal efficiency, mate. So, this is a guy who's got, oodles of class. I just think he's in, he's in a hard block of games for himself, personally. I'm sure, Brad Scott will stick by him, but he has got a bit of work to do.
Yeah, he does, Jane. And I think he's sort of one of those players that can be a bit explosive, like because he had that sort of run about 2 or 3 minutes there where it looks like he was going to, try and take the game by the scruff of the neck himself, like those couple of shots at goal. Unfortunately, they got the 1 behind out of that. But you can see what he can do when he does get a bit of a run on. Unfortunately, it's not coming off for him at the moment. And as you said, Jane, 42% is not good enough at AFL level. But I've got a lot of faith in Archie Perkins. I think he'll be a real player for us, and he's definitely one I'd continue to persist with because, once he gets, I suppose, greater fitness, more composure in the game and can really think things out. I think we'll really reap the benefits of that in time to come. He's just got to ride out this tough patch and, Yeah, I'm sure things will turn around for him. But look, not his greatest game, I'd have to say average overall in terms of output. But yeah, he'll certainly lift from here.
Peter Wright, third game back. Again, didn't trouble the scorers at all. No goals, no behind. Six disposals, four kicks, two handballs, one mark, one tackle, and three hitouts. So, yeah, really quiet game from Pete. And, you know, we did say Aaliyah was getting, very much looked after by the umps in terms of, you know, nothing was paid against him.
Yeah.
But I just think Pete's got to find a way to influence the game when he is being well held. He's just got to find a way of, you know, really either opening up the goal by moving up the ground himself, or you know, just will himself into better positions to so that his opponent has to give away a free kick, because that height's an advantage.
Yeah.
And there's not many players that will have the same height as him, so he's just got to keep working hard, get that space, and make the defender, you know, overcommit or, you know, drag down an arm, and hopefully it's seen. But yeah, as I said, third game back, I don't want to be too critical of him. But, yeah, I think we, you know, in time we expect more of Pete. He's such an important player to us. So let's hope he improves as the season goes on.
Yeah, I'd agree with that, Jay. And I think, you know, for mine, it's about, like, you know, he's doing the work behind the scenes, but I do think within the games, I think he can just get a bit disheartened, like, oh, things aren't working for me, you know, and just keep, you know, trying to, you know, leap with those ones that are, you know, on top of his head. And, you know, Aaliyah was all over him in all forms, that phrase. As you said, Jamie, he needs to find a way to get more involved, whether it is, as you say, coming up the ground. Like we saw that late in the game, that fourth quarter, he came up and actually took his one mark for the day. He needs to do that more. But I think the problem is we don't have that tall timber, that reliable, you know, tall timber down forward to be able to take the big grabs and kick a goal. Someone that would command the football going forward, Jamie. You know, Phillips probably the closest we would have, but I think he was kind of out on his feet all over the ground, really. And as for Wiedemann, we've talked about him, he's low on confidence. So I think Peter Wright would really benefit from another forward that really commands the footy to sort of take a defender or two off him. But as for Peter Wright himself, just has to find a way, work different running patterns, get involved in the game. To break those shackles, because you know, if you keep on falling into the defenders' hands, yeah, they're going to take advantage as best they can. So I think pretty average game from Peter Wright, but as you say, he's just coming back, so we'll back him in.
Yeah, Dyson Heppel continued his good run of form, I thought. You know, again, played a really serviceable game down back, took some important marks, especially in the depth of the game. You know, when the pressure was really coming on, I thought his experience showed. 20 disposals, 12 kicks, 8 handballs, 8 marks, and 2 tackles. So it's really been a good bounce back by Dyson Heppel after a really slow start to the year, where people were calling for him to be dropped. And we've seen the benefits of that, where he's really improved and held his spot and now is an important cog of that backline.
That's right, Jam, and you know, it has to be remembered that we were part of those people calling for him to drop.
Admittedly.
Certainly I was one of those, and I don't think, you know, we were you know, off the boil in any way. The way he was playing wasn't, it just wasn't up to AFL standard. But for him to turn him around, it's just, yeah, a testament to, I suppose, himself as a person and I guess the talent that he and Brad Scott knew he had in him, and to play another game like he did against Port, I thought, as you said, Jamie, he was just so reliable, particularly with that marking presence. There were a couple of really important pressure acts down back to thwart some Port efforts. He actually had 7 intercept possessions, which was really good to see. Had 6 contested, so you know, he was fighting hard for the footy. But those 8 marks, each one of those worth a weight in gold. And, used it fairly well on a wet night, 75%. So I thought he played quite a good game. Yep. And, Well done from Dunthum. Yeah, just another really good game.
Now, he was asked during the week that he, you know, did he want to play on? He said, yes, if the club felt that he was still required, he'd still love to play. What's your opinion on that, mate? Do you think this is his swan song, or could you see the club bringing him back?
Yeah, I mean, because I think he signed a 2-year deal.
No, it was a 1-year playing deal. I think he played it, signed a 3-year deal, mate. But I think it was 1-year deal with two, you know, potentially development coach or something like that. So, because I think that's what the offer was. Gold Coast offered something similar.
Yep.
So our club more or less matched it, and you know, I guess in good faith with the captain, long term captain. You know, probably would have left a sour taste to see. You know, Essendon not put an offer and watch him go up to Gold Coast without, you know, Essendon even trying to retain his services. So I think that's a better look. But we move on to Sam. Oh, sorry.
Just quickly, because I mean, you asked my opinion on it. I still think, look, we've got so many young blokes coming through, and there's a real crush for spots. So I think a lot may ride on Mason Redmond, whether he stays or goes. Let's hope he stays around. But I kind of feel, with our young list, look, I still think he's playing really good this season, Dyson Heppel. But for mine, I just don't know if he'd be able to go around again and maintain this level of form, given how we've seen like his injury history last year and the start of this year, that he was playing at a level that wasn't AFL standard for mine. So I would have some hesitations to go around, but he's playing good footy for the now.
Sam Durham, look, he's a player that he gets a lot of these games, right, where he gets the 14 disposals, 7 kicks, 7 handballs, 2 marks, 1 tackle. I think there's some games where he just kind of, yeah, I'm sure he doesn't mean to, but he just floats through the game, if you know what I mean. Like, there's large chunks where you don't notice him. And I know that wingman really depends on the ball movement and whether he's playing a defensive wing role or, you know, because we see Nick Martin is given license with his wing. So I think maybe Sam has to cover for Nick in Nick's pursuit of the footy. So he has to play a more defensive role. But yeah, just I think it's coming to that time where Sam needs to get a bit more output. Like he was brilliant against Richmond. We don't expect that every week. But I just think that, he just needs to be a little bit more influential, you know, when he's on the ground.
Yeah, agree with that, Jay. I think, floating through is kind of a perfect kind of description for his game because, you know, he flies at marks every now and then, doesn't always take them. And, like, through the game, like, you'll get a couple of touches and think, oh, yeah, that's not bad. Like, he's doing some good things. But then there's some things where you think, oh, geez, I wish he would have been like that. Look, he's playing okay, like, and he will grow and develop from here. Perhaps it is just a case of, really cementing that role. He's still a young player, still got plenty of development left to go. But I think, there's absolutely stretches of the game where we just need him to get more involved, and potentially that's down on our players as well, making better use of him, going through him, because he can be quite a good user of the footy. I mean, he went at 93% disposal efficiency throughout the ground. Look, he'll grow and develop from here. I'm still going to back him in. I think he can be quite a good player for us. He's got that desperation that we need. But I just think he had an average game of the night.
And look, he's only 21, so I'm not too harsh on him.
Yep.
Jake Stringer, look, he only had 13 disposals, 9 kicks, 4 handballs, 4 marks, 6 tackles, which is fantastic for Jake. And a really strong tackle at that. He kicked a nice goal, missed a couple. But, Jake didn't have the amount of possessions he usually would. I will say I didn't think he was in the middle as much as he usually is. And he did look a bit proppy at the start of the game, mate. I saw him trying to do a chase, and it really looked like he was in pain chasing. So, yeah, hopefully everything's okay with Jake. But, yeah, I thought his effort and his endeavour was fantastic. Would have liked to see him kick one more goal, mate. But, look, he's a brilliant player for us and yeah, really love his commitment to chasing now. You know, with six tackles, that's a real credit to him.
Yeah, it certainly is, Jan. Again, this was another team-first performance from Jake Stringer for mine. Just done those little things, as you say, tackling, harassing, but also laying a bit of a bigger body at times and just using his smarts to get some opportunities at goals. And as I say, didn't get as many goals as we might have liked from him. But again, he's playing a... playing a role for us I think he's getting other blokes in the game, giving them opportunities rather than feeling like he's the one-man band by himself. He's another player, though, who just went at 46% disposal efficiency, James. So, another one he really needs to lift in that area. But overall, I think he had a solid night in the end.
Mason Redmond, again, pretty good game by Mason. Had 21 disposals, 19 kicks, 2 handballs, 7 marks, which is a feature of his game, his marking. He didn't have any tackles, but I guess with Mason, the one decision that drew his mind was probably that kick from the back line late in the game that went directly out of bounds. Unfortunately, that was always going to be paid. And, I guess he would have liked his time again because he had a little bit more space, really. Mm. There was no need to dump it like that.
Yeah.
But again, like, this is all experiences and that. But, I thought he played a pretty good game without being outstanding.
Yeah, it's sort of funny, James, because he, you look at the stat sheet and it looks pretty good. Like, had the 11 intercept possessions, 600 metres gained. So, he done his job, had a goal assist as well, which is very nice, and nearly kicked a goal himself. But for mine, it was kind of like an almost game. I can't quite put my finger on it, but he just didn't have as much impact as we've seen him have previously. And potentially he's a victim of his own success, because certainly he was fighting hard for footy, had 11 contested possessions, 7 inside 50. So, certainly he's got us in attacking positions. But I think those entries inside 50 were probably, I suppose, common to the rest of the side. They just didn't give our forwards the best opportunity at goal, not to their advantage. It was kind of on top of their heads or, particularly on top of Peter Wright's head, which effectively went straight to, Aaliyah or, other blokes like that. So, I think he had a fairly good night, against Port. I think it'll just hopefully continue to lift from here.
Jake Kelly, we know he's in the side to be a hard-nosed defender. Mm. He did his best attempts at that. He had 13 disposals, 8 kicks, 5 handballs, 5 marks, and 3 tackles. So, I think he did his defensive role pretty well. You don't expect him to set up a lot of forward thrust or anything like that, but he just did a good defender's role, I thought.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I think solid without being outstanding.
Yeah. Brandon Zirk-Thatcher had his hands full, but again, our key position defenders did well against their key position forwards. It wasn't their players that hurt us. It was more like the Rosies and the Butters and the smaller type players that would get the goals. But he had 2 kicks, 7 handballs, 2 marks, and 1 tackle. So just a defender's role again is what we expect from him. And I thought he did that pretty well in the night.
Yeah, I'd agree with that, James. The stat sheet kind of doesn't show you the fists he got in, either punch a ball, to rush it through or to, at least get it out of the forward's hands. He plays with a lot of desperation, does Zirk-Thatcher, and he got a pretty awful knock one part of the night. I was sort of worried he might have got a concussion again.
It looked like it was in the ribs, mate. He was really grimacing the rib area. But, again, he's a tough player because There's been a few games this year where he's just got really hard knocks.
Mm.
And he's back up and, you know, ready to go again. So, yeah, that really shows to me that, you know, he's a fighter.
Certainly is, mate.
Andrew Phillips, I thought he was really good. You know, losing Draper is a big loss for us.
Mm.
But I thought he dominated the ruck and obviously yep. had 33 hitouts. Didn't tell his tale. The thing I loved most was his marks. It's the only credit as four marks, but they were commanding marks in
yeah.
you know, pretty strong areas of the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, even his tackling, you know, five tackles for a big ruckman. And so, yeah, he's just, I think it's his birthday today, mate. I think he's 32 today or something. But he's a real journeyman, but he just keeps fighting his way. And Brad Scott's really found a spot for him, stuck with him for most of the year. And he had a bit of a payoff, I thought, on the night.
Yeah, absolutely. He played out of his skin. James, I thought he played a really good game. As you say, those marks were really important for us. Like, that's an area of the game that we've really been crying out for someone to take those, you know, release kicks in the middle of the ground. He did that with a plum, and, you know, when he had to, you know, go up forward or go down back, he did his bit there as well, just crashing into packs, really making his presence felt. You know, he's even getting involved in that link-up play, James, like a few nice handballs here and there, a couple of shepherds. I thought, you know, his clearance work as well was pretty good. Had five clearances for the big bloke. Not a bad effort at the six score involvements, which was nice. Eight contested possessions. I really rated his game, James. I thought, he battled bloody hard against some, you know, less experienced rucks, you'd have to say. Certainly did have to fight out against the likes of, you know, Dixon and Finlayson and the rest of their crew. So I thought, quite a good game from Andrew Phillips.
Matt Guelphy, he didn't get a lot of the footy, just the eight disposals, four kicks, four handballs, two marks, four tackles, and two goals. So I think any small forward that kicks you two goals, mate, they've done their job.
Yep.
And he, you know, those four tackles, he's always, you know, really trying hard to keep the ball in our side, our forward 50 or around our forward half. And he does a lot of, the real, you know, the one percenters, I guess. But it wasn't a game where he got a lot of the footy, but as I said, he made the most of his opportunities and kicked two goals.
Yeah, he certainly did. The only thing I will say is, there's a few times throughout the night, James, where he just needs to be better with his hands. A bit fumbly with the ball, like that missed opportunity when we were streaming forward had, you know, like that really should have been a goal. Like that just kills you on some nights when you get limited opportunities. But as I say, when he did the opportunity himself, he slotted a couple, which was nice to see. So I'd say at the end of the day, he had a solid day.
Yeah. Nick Martin didn't get as much of the footy as he usually does.
Mm.
Just had the 16 disposals, 9 kicks, 7 handballs, 4 marks and 2 tackles. Did kick a goal, which was great when you get goals from your wingman. But, that one kick he'll probably be remembered for most in the game, and that's a bit unfair on him because obviously he's only trying to clear the ball.
Yeah.
But, unfortunately for Nick Martin, it wasn't one of his stronger games, I thought. But he certainly still, you know, he takes his chances. You know, there's a bit of an article or a bit of a TV snippet I saw with Lee Montagna, and he was really attacking Nick Martin, said he's the most unaccountable footballer in the league.
Bloody hell.
So he had a lot of footage to show it up, mate, so where he just had, he said, disregard for his opponent. So in his hunt for the footy.
Has he seen Jeremy Finlayson?
Yeah, that's right. Well, we heard Brad Scott say about Finlayson. But, I look at, I have no doubt Essendon's probably said, Nick Martin, hey, you're a damaging player for us.
Mm.
Get the footy in your hands, you know, and take your chances.
Yep.
So I'm sure that footage doesn't reflect well on him, but it's probably a team instruction rather than Nick Martin saying, I don't care about team protocols, yeah, I'm just chasing the footy. Mm-hmm. So is that something Brad Scott would have addressed with him if he had concerns? So, but it was just pointed out. And, yeah, as always, the footage can be quite damning because, you know, they're taking isolated incidents out of games and, you know, can make anyone look silly. But, yeah, look, it wasn't one of his strongest games, but, you know, he's still, you know, to kick a goal and you know, still be dangerous is good. But, you know, yeah, I think we can get better out of Nick next game.
Yeah, absolutely, Jan. Look, wet night. So, yeah, pretty tough. And but he's, again, another one of these players that went at 62% disposal efficiency. So, look, you know, for more from a talented bloke like him, I thought he played, solid. Like, you saw him enough contests, but just, didn't have a lot of impact on the night for mine. So I'd say, solid overall.
Jai Menzies was subbed out. He'd had 8 disposals, 4 kicks, 4 handballs, 3 marks and 2 tackles. But for a boy down at Tassie, I reckon the conditions on the night probably suited him. Yep. I wonder if they had their time again, would they have subbed him out? Because one thing Jai Menzies does offer is he's a real competitor. From the forward half especially, he really chases down and tries to keep the ball and, commits to the footy when he needs to. That's one thing I really like about Jai. And whilst he didn't kick any goals on the night, I do wonder, was that the right move? But, obviously hindsight probably backs that. If Shield had to come on and had 12 disposals in the last and got us over the line, could be seen as double dipping, having a guy after the race is always pick the winner then. But I just thought Jai was probably the one player I wouldn't have taken off. Anything, I would have maybe looked at either a Wiedemann or or even Peter Wright, as much as people might think that was a strange one, like on the night. Just to see if that threw poured out, not having another big forward to man up on.
Yep. No, it's not a bad call. But, I just think, taking Menzies out for Shield, I can see the benefit of bringing Shield in. But as you say, I don't think Menzies was the right selection to sub him out. Plenty of other candidates. But is what it is. Look, I think he had an okay night. It's not like I thought he was starring, but I just thought he could have. He's definitely one who could have had an impact in the last. And only played the 57% of game time, James. So, even those 3 quarters he was on, it's not like he was on the whole time. I thought he'd done his role. Had a nice goal assist to Guelphy there. Didn't kick a goal himself, but I think he still tackled and harassed as best he could. You'd have to say output-wise, average to solid. That's about all I could say for Jai Menzies. But I still think he's got a lot of promise, this young bloke, and I'm looking forward to what he can be in the years to come.
Yeah, well, he's only 20 years old. And he's got a bit of a man body, for a 20-year-old. I think he can really have an impact. As the season goes on and hopefully for the years ahead. Mate, we got through it. Now we've got to go into our Don's Cast medal votes. I'm not going to forget like last week. I'll let you go first with those, mate.
Beautiful. So going from the bottom, I gave 1 to Heppel, 2 to Ridley, 3 to Hobbs, 4 to Phillips, and 5 to Zach Merritt, the captain. How about yourself, mate? How'd you read it?
Oh, so we went a bit different. Yeah, I went Zach Merritt 5. I thought he was our best player.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't a typical Merritt game, but in terms of, just his impact and his desire to keep us in a contest. I actually gave 4 votes to Ben Hobbs. I was that impressed with his game. Yeah. And look, I know he didn't have the output of some of the other midfielders in terms of possessions, but it was just his impact on the game. And that's how I saw it. And,
mm-hmm.
again, I feel we rude to miss opportunity having him on the ground more because I just felt he sat a bit when we probably could have used him. I gave 3 to Phillips. I thought he played, had a really good game, really commanded in the ruck, and we needed him to. I gave 2 to Caldwell, especially that second half, as you said, mate, and that last quarter where he just willed himself and, you know, he willed the team to hit the front and, you know, just some of his takes off the wet ground. You know, as you said, we've been fumbly all night, and he really, you know, put his body over the ball and would collect it well. And I gave 1 vote to Kyle Langford for his 3 goals, and, you know, I just felt he was a really strong player for us as well.
Beautiful. All right. Well, let's tally him up. So I'll go from the bottom as always. So we got 3 votes to Durham, 4 to Zerk Thatcher, 5 each to Wright and Perkins, 6 to Draper, 7 to Setterfield, 8 to Wiedemann, 10 to Phillips, 12 apiece to Caldwell and Kelly, 13 to Heppel, 18 for Dylan Shield. Stringer is on 21, Hobbs on 25, Langford on 31, McGrath on 32. And then our top 5, Jane, we've got Parrish on 35, Martin on 41, Redmond on 48, Ridley 51, and out in front is the captain, Zach Merritt, on 63 Don's Cast Metal votes.
Yeah, so Merritt's really got a bit of a break now, really gone up the level. So it'd be interesting to see how it's going to all finish up. But, mate, let's put that Port game behind us. It's really doured my week. But, let's hope for brighter skies ahead with a big win over the Crows. So till next week, go the Bombers.
Go Dons.